way to the information society, with the accompanying creation, distribution, diffusion, use, and manipulation of information affecting global economics, politics, and cultures. Digital information systems used in the CIA for more than two decades ceased being location-specific and were now being connected and accessed throughout the world in unsecured spaces over an electronic spiderweb named the Internet. Former CIA officer James Gosler observed that because of the emergence of digital technologies in the 1990s, the conduct of espionage had been irreversibly altered, owing in large part to the rapid expansion of global reliance on information technology. These digital technologies, combined with servers, routers, and a terminal at every desk, transformed information at every level: creation, storage, processing, viewing, sharing, and transmission. Specialized sub-miniature cameras developed by OTS to photograph documents stored in a target's filing cabinet were of limited value when computer networks became the repositories for secrets. Gosler noted, "Clandestine photography is rapidly yielding to sophisticated technical operations that exploit these networks. Spies with authorized access to these networks, an insider, can exfiltrate more than 1 million pages of sensitive material inside a microelectronic memory device easily concealed within a watch, an ink pen, or even a hearing aid." Examples of the rapid obsolescence of Cold War collection devices can be found in some OTS equipment developed in the 1970s to support CIA agent Kuklinski in Poland, who had access to the Soviet war plans. Over the course of 9 years, Kuklinski secretly photographed more than 25,000 pages of classified Soviet and Polish military planning and capabilities documents. OTS supplied technology for the operation that included disguises, concealment devices, sub-miniature cameras, suicide pills, and covert communication devices. Today, the technology for most of Kuklinski's communications and specialized camera equipment is obsolete, and the secret documents he photographed and dead-dropped to his case officer would likely be imaged, transmitted, and disseminated in electronic form. The digital revolution did not alter the CIA's goal of clandestine collection of adversaries' secret plans and intentions. However, the role of agents fundamentally shifted from a spy who is supported by clandestine technology to a spy who supports a clandestine technical operation. Spy gear had to adjust to the needs of the agent, who would become an infiltrator and compromiser of computer networks rather than a reporter of information. In a sense, the technology, just like an agent, would be recruited to spy. Legendary criminal Willie Sutton was once asked why he robbed banks. He responded, "Because that's where the money is." While some money remains in brick-and-mortar banks, the motherlode of wealth is now found in the financial cyber world. The criminal skills and tools and tradecraft possessed by a Sutton would be of little value in robbing a cyber bank. The same is true for intelligence collection. Over time, the location and form of secret information changed. Correspondingly, the skills, tools, partnerships, and culture of tradecraft have been forced to evolve. To uncover another country's military, political, or economic secrets, targeting an opponent's information technology can be exponentially more valuable than stealing paper documents. Thanks to new digital technologies, the covert transfer of vast amounts of information or clandestine attacks on enemy networks no longer requires a physical presence and can often be conducted remotely from anywhere on the globe using the Internet. Regardless of the era, sound tradecraft has always employed the best available technologies to support clandestine activities. While espionage goals and objectives remain constant, global access to digital systems and information altered time-honored methods and techniques of spying. Emerging information technologies also allowed traditional tradecraft to be applied in new ways. The Internet and the global availability of personal database information makes the spotting of individuals with potential susceptibility to recruitment independent of geography or personal engagement. Using the Internet for assessment and as a spotting tool, intelligence services can focus on a smaller pool of potential recruits. Profession and position often indicates access to sensitive information, and vulnerabilities are revealed by internet communications and search habits. Digital ink never fades, and private thoughts and comments expressed in obscure publications reside permanently on the internet as searchable public records. Whether entries are in the form of a blog, posted on a chat site, contained in a circulated email, published in a book or magazine article, or transcribed from a television interview, they become available indefinitely to anyone with internet access. Opinions and musings from one's youth might provide tantalizing clues to a person's beliefs, values, interests, and vulnerabilities, all of which are immensely valuable in the recruitment process. Publicly accessible internet databases enable the remote and anonymous aggregation of comprehensive personal and financial profiles. Types of information readily available include employment, profession, educational history, job change patterns, health, marital status, address, social security number, driver's license number, income, personal debts, credit card numbers, travel patterns, favorite restaurants, lawsuits, and bankruptcies. An examination of a computer user's database information can further reveal potential recruitment vulnerabilities. Examples include: recurring purchases at a liquor store or bar might suggest problems with alcohol. Large expenditures at pharmacies or a hospital might reveal undisclosed health problems. Bankruptcy or bad credit reports could indicate financial strain. Travel patterns and expenditures might point to extramarital relationships. Frequent job changes could mask failed career expectations. Recreational interests in dangerous or thrill-seeking activities, such as scuba diving, skydiving, or motorcycle racing, could identify a risk-taker who might also be inclined to accept espionage as living even more on the edge. For the recruiter of spies, internet information becomes an efficient tool for identifying targets to develop and discarding those without access or apparent vulnerabilities. Internet accessibility to commercial databases has made the creation of effective cover and the use of disguise more problematic. The traditional identity details of address, profession, and association membership become immediately verifiable using Google or other common search tools. Because the effectiveness of cover and disguise can erode quickly under examination, light commercial cover could be compromised by a curious hotel check-in clerk with internet access. In the hands of a counterintelligence professional, even a well-backstopped cover can be pierced by identifying anomalies and dates involved with a created identity. Because so many details of a person's identity are now publicly available, it is difficult to create sufficient supporting records to construct an individual's entire life history, including records of education, credit cards, residence, family, children's schools, neighborhood associations, library cards, and driver's licenses. The amount of information needed to legitimize identity has made sustaining a cover identity over an extended period nearly impossible if a determined adversary has the ability to exploit the internet. Light disguises that include fake beards, mustaches, hair coloring, hats, or scars may fool the human eye, but not a camera with face recognition software that is linked to a database. Biometric data such as iris scans, passports with memory chips, digital fingerprinting, and electronic signature matching have all emerged as new industries for commercial security and intelligence requirements. Digital technology offers options for concealing data in forms never possible during the Cold War. The tens of thousands of pages of sensitive information collected by Kuklinski over his 9-year spy career could be compressed and stored on a memory card much smaller than a postage stamp. Embedded computer chips in toys, cameras, digital music players, calculators, watches, automobiles, and many home consumer products make it possible to alter the memory in any device to conceal secret information. An agent no longer needs to possess compromising concealment devices for hiding film, one-time pads, secret writing chemicals, and escape instructions, Since all of that information can be stored electronically in everyday devices that defy detection, the likelihood of an agent's properly concealed digital information being detected approaches zero. The remarkable reduction in size of microphones, transmitters, and cameras since 1991 has resulted in easier concealment, less power requirements, and use of smaller batteries with a longer operational life. Tiny collection tools, such as digital video cameras and microphones, small enough to be fitted on small robotic crawlers the size of a common cockroach, can explore, map, and exploit air conditioning vents, drain pipes, and ventilation shafts for surveillance. It is now possible to convert any image or sound into a digital format, which can then be encrypted and transmitted instantly across the Internet or by satellite on government or commercial communication links. For example, advanced software recognition programs can link video images to database programs that enable the surveillant to capture real-time images of license plates to build instantly a database of all vehicles and their owners passing an observation point. Such information, over time, could reveal the identities of security and intelligence personnel involved in activities near the location. Forms of face trace programs enable video images to be rapidly compared to records in distant databases for identification. New generations of low-cost radio frequency identification chips created for the retail industry offer an opportunity to tag an unsuspecting target by embedding a tiny chip in clothing or the sole of a shoe. These embedded passive chips can be scanned as targets pass through electronic choke points and represent a digital version of the Soviet spy dust. Astonishingly small, unmanned aerial vehicles with wingspans of less than 1/2 inch, carrying cameras and audio sensors, can be remotely piloted to surveil targets from above or guided into a building to serve as a movable flying bug. A Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency version is small enough to fit on a thumbnail, yet capable of carrying either audio or video sensors. 90% of its internal power goes toward navigation and propulsion, while 10% maintains the sensors. An early CIA version of the flying device from 1976, called the Insectothopter, is on display inside the agency's original headquarters building, alongside a prototype of an advanced Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, model, no larger than a black horsefly. Public awareness of Cold War tradecraft often focused around the communication techniques of brush passes, car tosses, and dead drops. Despite their sophistication and usefulness at the time, all of these techniques were vulnerable to surveillance by an alert counterintelligence service. In the United States, the arrests of Navy spy John Walker in 1985 and Aldrich Ames, a KGB mole inside the CIA, in 1994, were precipitated by their actions in communicating with their Soviet handlers. The advent of the Internet affected all of the pillars of tradecraft, but none more so than COVECOM, where it revolutionized clandestine communications. Criminals and terrorists, as well as intelligence services, quickly recognized that the Internet offered unprecedented capabilities to communicate with near impunity. Messages, information, and signals were transmitted in ways that appeared innocuous and defied detection by being interlaced into the burgeoning traffic transiting the Internet. As information flowed through the net, both the identity and location of the recipient and sender could be masked in a bewildering variety of disguises. A Cold War COVECOM plan that required weeks to plan and was dangerous to execute could be completed safely in seconds over the Internet. Encryption and steganography techniques using the latest advances in technology were developed to protect and conceal data in digital files transmitted globally. The Internet allowed computer users, including bankers, criminals, merchants, terrorists, and spies, to communicate instantly and easily from anywhere to anywhere in the wired world. The global popularity and availability of Internet services allowed users who wished to remain undetected to blend their few messages in with billions of daily emails and file transfers. The hard-to-find needle in the haystack became the nearly impossible to track electron in terabytes of data. Intelligence agencies recognized the potential to exploit the Internet, as they had with satellites and cell phones in earlier decades. Covert use of the Internet, however, still demanded that traditional requirements for secure and non-attributable message exchange be met. The digital technology made message encryption and steganography far easier, but every successful COVCOM system, whether based on dead drops, SHRAC, satellites, or the Internet, had to meet four conditions. The protection of the agent and the integrity of the operation demanded that covert communications be spam-proof. S. Secure. The message content must be unreadable to anyone other than the intended recipient. OTPs and software encryption are different paths to the same end. They protect the meaning of a covert message, even if it should be intercepted. P. Personal. The message presence must be inaccessible to anyone other than the intended recipient. A loaded brick concealment and a video file loaded with digital steganography both provide a host for secret messages that would appear uninteresting and normal for their environment. Only the intended recipient would know to look inside. A. Avoid traffic analysis. The existence of a communications link between the agent and handler must be hidden, for the same reason that officers and agents traditionally use dead drops to preclude awareness of their COVCOM. There must not be any record of clandestine activity, including malicious software on the agent's hard drive, to raise suspicions about the agent during a search. M. Mask the existence of the fact of communication. The fact that a communication is or has occurred must remain secret. Dead drop sites would be used only once and not approached by either the agent or the case officer if suspicion of surveillance existed. Covert Internet exchanges can use remailers, cutouts, public systems, and digital dead drops for a similar objective. The two critical components in a successful covert digital communication system are the message and its method of delivery. The message is made secure using digital encryption and secret or invisible using digital steganography. Both communication techniques can be used separately or together, first performing the encryption and then hiding within another file to be transmitted over the Internet. For centuries, encryption that protected information was generated by humans, and early mechanical ciphers were vulnerable to being broken by other clever humans. The development of the first high-level electromechanical encryption machine took place in 1918 and produced ciphers that were, at the time, unbreakable by the unaided human mind alone. Though the electromechanical machines produced secure ciphertext, the technology was controlled by governments with an extraordinary need for secrecy. In the mid-1970s, however, strong encryption algorithms began migrating from the sole preserve of government agencies into the public domain. By the 1990s, digital encryption algorithms were widely used for protecting Internet e-commerce, mobile telephone networks, and automatic teller machines. The end of the Cold War saw the development and broad distribution, via the Internet, of sophisticated encryption algorithms to any user, anywhere. Phil Zimmerman is credited with developing the first version of a public encryption program, PGP, Pretty Good Privacy, in 1991. He had been a longtime anti-nuclear activist and created PGP encryption to provide like-minded people with secure use of computerized bulletin board systems and messages and file storage. There was no charge for the software, and the complete source code was included with all copies. PGP encryption found its way onto Usenet and from there onto the Internet. From a security standpoint, there is no publicly known method to break a PGP-generated message by cryptographic, computational means. For the first time in history, government-level encryption software was available for free to anyone with access to the Internet. Intelligence services with limited financial resources soon adopted PGP and similar encryption software to create powerful and unbreakable agent COVCOM systems once available only to the major superpowers. The small but aggressive Cuban intelligence service used publicly available encryption software to communicate with its agents operating inside the United States. An advanced version of a PGP encryption program was discovered in September of 2001 during the search of the Washington, D.C. apartment of Anna Belen Montez. Montez, who the FBI codenamed Blue Wren, was a Defense Intelligence Agency intelligence analyst for Cuban affairs and a spy for the Cuban Intelligence Service. For her COVCOM, Montez had been instructed to purchase a Toshiba 405CS laptop computer and was provided by her Cuban handlers, assigned to the Cuban mission at the United Nations, with two diskettes, S1 and R1, for encrypting and decrypting messages. Because the possession of high-level encryption software would be alerting if Montez's laptop computer was examined forensically, digital encryption programs, PGP or similar, and one-time keys were embedded on each diskette. When receiving messages transmitted to her Sony shortwave radio by her service, she would copy and enter the ciphertext numbers into her laptop computer and insert diskette R1 to recover the plain text. To prepare secret information to be handed over to the Cubans, she would enter the plain text into her laptop and then use the encryption program and key embedded on diskette S1 to convert it into ciphertext. As long as Montez wiped her laptop hard drive after each covert use to erase any trace of the process and concealed her two special diskettes, the messages she was sending and receiving would have been virtually unbreakable. Despite her instructions, Montez did not wipe her hard drive after each use. As a result, during the FBI search of her apartment and computer, plain text copies of her communications were recovered. The weakness was not in the encryption software, but with the faulty tradecraft of Montez. Once a message is encrypted, digital steganography can be used to hide it among the ones and zeros in any electronic transmission. Steganography, while not a form of encryption, protects messages by rendering them invisible. If the existence of a message cannot be discovered, its secrets are not revealed. Publicly known digital techniques have made the use of steganography available to anyone to hide data and messages in virtually any electronic document and instantly send the secret information to anywhere on the globe over the Internet. Spies used limited digital techniques for hiding information during the Cold War. In the late 1980s, FBI Special Agent Robert Hansen, a mole for the KGB, sent messages to his handlers on 8-inch floppy computer diskettes. Because the secrets he was selling would likely lead a trail back to him if discovered, Hansen first encrypted the information and then concealed it on the diskettes using a technique called 40-track encryption. The little-known technical process reformatted the computer diskette and allowed data to be concealed by placing it onto specific tracks on the diskette inaccessible to the computer's internal operating system. While the obscure digital techniques used by Hansen in the 1980s were known only to so-called computer geeks, by the 1990s, digital steganography programs for hiding data were readily available to anyone with Internet access. It is possible to conceal data digitally inside music or video files in ways that make them sound and appear to be unaltered. Audio files can conceal information by altering digital bits of the file that are inaudible to the human ear. Graphic images allow the redundant bits that make up the colors to be altered in a way that appears identical to the human eye. The secret messages are concealed within the bits of data. If someone does not have the original or host file to serve as a comparison, the altered covert files with hidden messages can be very difficult to detect, especially so when combined with millions and millions of emails and file attachments that are sent daily over the Internet. Steganographic software uses an algorithm to embed data in a host image or sound file and a password scheme for retrieving the information. Professional intelligence services may use advanced steganography programs to incorporate encryption programs for additional security in case the message should be discovered. Digital technology has also reformed the classic microdot technique of using tiny pieces of film less than 1 millimeter square to conceal a page of text. It is now possible to create and embed large quantities of digital information inside tiny email electronic dots. Once created, digital dots can be concealed in a variety of unconventional methods that defy detection. Virtually any type of digital file can be modified to conceal information, rendering the counterintelligence task not one of finding a needle in one haystack, but rather that of searching millions of haystacks without even the aid of a magnet. Dead drops were used extensively during the Cold War as hiding places for information and money exchanges between the spy and handler, but subjected both to the risk of exposure and arrest. Using the Internet, it becomes possible to create email accounts to send and receive digital files and messages anonymously. A secure digital dead drop email account can be easily created from a personal laptop computer by anonymously signing up with an Internet service provider who offers a period of free access without requiring a credit card. From that newly created intermediate account, the user can log on to any similar service and create a second anonymous account to serve as the dead drop. Anyone can send digital files to the dead drop account, and with knowledge of the primary account password, content can be downloaded from anywhere in the world. To protect the security of the dead drop, users log on anonymously from the intermediate access account. America Online and other Internet service providers also allow users to save an uncompleted email or document onto the provider's hard drive to be retrieved later. This feature lets conspirators possessing the primary account password communicate by retrieving and editing the stored document without ever sending it as an email or attachment. Regardless of the techniques used, for greatest security, the hard drive of the laptop would be wiped after each Internet session. The options for covert communications using digital technology appear endless and remain a persistent problem for counterintelligence. Intelligence services anonymously establish email accounts under fictional individual or business names and use them to receive coded messages and digital files from sources. The email addresses, similar to a postal accommodation address, have no public association with the intelligence service and, if necessary, can be used only once and discarded. Use of such an account would not be for agents in high-risk countries, but offers a method of anonymous communication elsewhere. A simple email to a notional account could mask a coded communication, which would be unbreakable if used only once. For example, a Cuban agent recruited abroad and returning to Havana might send a seemingly innocuous email to a friend in which he discusses his passion for stamp collecting. In reality, the friend's email address arrives at a computer in the intelligence service and is a signal that the agent is ready to begin work. With limited use and selection of a topic consistent with the agent's lifestyle and interests, such communications defy discovery. An unmodified computer's operating system leaves tracks that allow counterintelligence forensic specialists to recover plain text copies of encrypted emails, regular emails, deleted files, cookies, temporary internet files, website history, chat room conversations, instant messages, pictures viewed, recycle bin, and recent documents. Wiping the hard drive by permanently erasing its contents eliminates evidence of clandestine activity, but is often impractical for an agent using his business or family computer. As a solution, a covert operating system can be installed on a tiny, concealable USB storage device smaller than the tip of one's pinky finger. When the device is connected, the computer boots from the covert operating system inside the USB without leaving a trace of its activities on the computer's internal hard drive. The agent can then use the computer's keyboard, monitor, printer, and internet connection without fear of leaving a forensic trail. The covert USB system is small enough to be portable and easily concealed. The routing of voice conversations over the Internet or through any other Internet provider-based network also creates an opportunity for clandestine communication while bypassing telephone networks. Voice over Internet Protocol, VOIP, encryption techniques scramble the conversations to render them meaningless if intercepted. Future advances in encryption techniques offer the potential to provide secure and unbreakable voice communication. However, until encrypted VoIP communication becomes more common for businesses and individuals, the presence of such software on an agent's computer